Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. Back with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hiya.
And also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hi. It's Friday. I've got a meeting with HR later.
Then it's a good thing you're here with Charlotte and I. This will be great.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, our first topic
Nothing
today
could go wrong.
What could possibly go wrong? Everything about this is a great idea. We're going to talk first about the New York Times, because the CEO of the New York Times basically gave an interview and talked about why the New York Times doesn't want anything to do with the new news service we expect Apple to show us next week. Brian, let's talk about this a little bit.
All right. There was one quote. So Andrew is the one who spotted this. He posted a link teaser for us. Mm-hmm. And his quote that he specifically highlighted is, this is coming from Mark Thompson, president and CEO of the Times. He said, quote, "We tend to be quite leery about the idea of almost habituating people to find our journalism somewhere else. We're also generically worried about our journalism being scrambled in a kind of mega mix or blender with journalism." And that is a very interesting quote from the standpoint of from the standpoint of the changing world of journalism.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that was interesting to me about it is that, to me, it just sort of sounds like he just figured out that there are other people who want that people are somehow finding ways around the paywall or whatever in order to be able to read stuff from the New York Times and not pay for it.
So, I don't think that's his angle.
Well, no, but to read at on its face, that's what, like, looking at that statement, you know, habituating finding our content other places, like, you know, I get where he's coming from, but it just sort of sounds like
I don't think he does,
but on its face, that was what I took from it at first.
What he's really talking about, and, you know, speaking as a publisher, I get where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. Facebook wants us to post our content over at Facebook, and what we get out of that is precisely nothing. Mm-hmm. I've never been satisfied with that arrangement, and I've never been satisfied with people on Facebook talking about our articles without I read the articles. Now, a lot of people will click through and read the full article, mm-hmm. but a lot of people don't. And they'll comment based on the
headline teaser.
Discuss based on the headline or the teaser, or maybe the image or something.
Mm-hmm. No, surely not.
And you can have an article that goes viral on Facebook can end up getting a ton of traffic, but even still, you're not benefiting from the vast majority of that traffic that Facebook is generating. Now, I love Facebook groups. I have a group for the Apple Context Machine that's fantastic. The Mac Geek Gab group is absolutely a fantastic place.
Because it's a community.
Because it is a community. And I think that's one of the things mm-hmm. that Facebook does. One of the best services that it offers its users. But, like, if we have one of our articles shared like a million times, you know, we might get like 100,000 page views out of it. And we probably paid to start that happening in the first place. I mean, it's like all of that, none of that leaves me happy as mm-hmm. a publisher.
Right.
And I get where he's talking about there, because, you know, like the idea of everybody going to Facebook to get our content is what he's talking about.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not sure that his stance is thoroughly rooted in reality today. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that we could stop posting to Facebook.
Right.
No, I'm with you. I mean, he's an interesting one because the company, when he was in the UK, I think they, under his watch, I'm prepared to be correct on this, but I do think some of the Murdoch-owned publications did bring in paywalls under Thompson's watch whilst he was in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what he did in the UK?
Yeah, so he was held a very, he held a variety of senior roles under here in the UK. I can find his official title.
Mostly under Rupert Murdoch was right, yeah, what I remember.
Right, yeah, he was in that company for 4 years. But the point is, he is a smart guy. He does, you know, he's been the BBC Director General as well.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was it. That he clashed with Murdoch. He was the BBC's Director General, Mark Thompson. And so there's he gets this stuff. But I understand why he's nervous about this. But equally, I happen to agree with Brian that he it's not quite the reality of what it's happening in media at the moment. We know this publishing stories every day.
Right.
That's like saying we want everyone to listen to our podcast, but we're not going to put it on iTunes or other podcast providers.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a very good analogy. And it is also possible that the New York Times is such an institution in and of itself that it could, that it can get away with that attitude.
Right.
Right, as is probably what started in London, the London Times, maybe?
The Times of London, yeah.
Times of London, thank you. The Washington Post here in the States, and the Wall Street Journal here in the States. I mean, these three publications are all massive institutions. Now, the Wall Street Journal has signed on to Apple's platform, and the Washington Post has not. And the New York Times is not. I don't know about the Times of London. Matter of fact, I don't know if there are any non-U.S. Newspapers to launch this. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. Like I don't. I mean, like there's certainly an app. Let's go back to Google News. Google News was this. You know, was like the first great aggregator, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I used Google News. I don't think I've used Google News for a while, but I used to use Google News a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was more convenient than going to the home pages of 15 or 20 different publications. Hmm. And that's where I think this guy might not be firmly rooted in the reality of Well, there is certainly an aspect of us wanting to be able to have our stuff sort of coalesce, curated, and presented to us.
Because I would go back to what, you know, what was even more useful from Google than Google News? Google Reader. So, you know, I think of that as an aggregation mechanism that is super useful and a thing that we should be, you know, considering. But like, Charlotte, you talked about podcasts, and that's like... the exact, I feel like that's the perfect analogy. Like, you know, the only, if I say to somebody, did you read that article in the Times? They're not going to ask me if it was the LA Times. They're going to assume that what I mean is the New York Times.
Sure.
Just like if I say the Post, you're going to know it's the Washington Post and not Seattle Post Intelligencer or something, right? Like, so, you know, being able to trade on that, I think if he was in charge of any other publication, I feel like his stance would probably be dismissed as misinformed at best, you know, because you can't get away with that if you're anybody else. I don't, you know, I think Brian, your point there is super valid, but you know, if you're going to be like, I'm pretty sure the New York Times, aren't they the one that started like the podcast every morning? You know, I'm sure I can get that on iTunes. So I sort of wonder where they're going to be headed with this, but like, you know, I am far more likely, and I think a lot of people are probably far more likely to consume more New York Times content through something like Apple News than they are necessarily making a special trip every day on their own.
Yeah, and just to make a kind of final point on this, Mark Thompson's coming from a place where, as I say, he was Director General of the BBC. That the BBC, probably our American listeners won't understand quite how much it dominates British media, particularly in terms of the website. One of the main reasons we have very suffering local news in the UK is because the BBC just consumes that market. So Mark Thompson is used to dominating his publications and the things he is responsible for to kind of dominating the space. And so I can see why he is nervous about someone else taking ownership of the platform and the pie and getting hold of it, because he's used to he's used to owning the whole platform, if you like.
Oh, sure. Okay. That's an interesting point to make too. Like, the thing that I'm going to be curious about is if we start getting any sort of information about this. And part of that is because one of the things he said was, you know, we don't want to be Netflix and give away our whole library. But, you know, part of what people want out of a newspaper is news. What happened today? Maybe yesterday? What's happening right now? Are you, you know, updating information about a story that's continuing to break or evolve in some fashion? And, you know, so like he talks about movie studios being foolish to give all their old content away. But what good is that content doing? You know, how many people who are current New York Times subscribers are going back and crawling through old issues of the newspaper, you know, from anything more than maybe a week ago? Like, I feel like that's, you know, part of his argument doesn't hold up for me. But now I'm going to think a lot about that podcast analogy and what you said, Shirley, because that seems like perfectly encapsulating exactly what he's talking about. And I'm interested to see what we get next week, you know, on that alone, just to find out who's all going to be available and what kind of stuff we're going to get. Because I'm curious what those readership numbers are going to do. So I'm very interested. We're all very interested. And I'm sure that we will have more to say about that as more becomes known. And we will talk about that stuff. But right now, I want to talk about our sponsor. Our sponsor today is KiwiCo. KiwiCo is a company that makes a subscription service for what they call a Kiwi Crate. And this box shows up at your house or the house of the person that you give it to once a month. And they have 7 different lines of different types of crates that you can choose from. They're for all ages, from very, very young up through high school. It comes with everything you need within the box. I've seen this month's box, and it's a walking robot for the older kids' Tinker Crate. It's pretty cool, and the really nice thing about it is it's totally self-contained. Everything you need is right there in the box. And it comes with really easy-to-follow instructions, and you get a little magazine of some other information with, like, since this is a walking robot, it's got background information about robots and some other things that are super duper fun. You can check them out. They have a lot of different STEAM based projects, so science, technology, engineering, art, and math. They're super duper fun. I have sent a number of these out to kids that I know who are super excited. They get mail every month, and they are able to build something cool, like, on a regular basis, which is pretty great. Now, if you want to try this out, you can get your first crate free from KiwiCo by going to kiwico.com/TDO. So try it out. Let's see what you think. That's kiwico.com/TDO, KIWICO.com/TDO. Like I said, you get that first one free. And we'd like to thank KiwiCo for sponsoring the show today. Now, our second topic is an interesting article from MG Sigler. And he's talking about how Apple's 30%, the days of Apple's 30% cut need to come to an end. Now, This may come as a surprise to some people, so I hope you're all prepared. Brian disagrees.
Brian is being contrarian.
Like, I know this is weird for people, but just stick with us. We'll get through it together.
And it's not entirely that I disagree. I've long worried about Apple's desire to take a cut from margins that aren't actually there. But at the same time, Apple has actually largely curbed that, right? So, you know, Apple used to basically want 30% off of, you know, you selling anything inside the app. Mm-hmm. And that's no longer the case. And I also
subscriptions have changed. Just let's point out, subscriptions have changed, not on the front end, but on the back end, where you only, Apple takes 30% the first year, but then 15% subsequently.
Right.
Right.
So that is one big change that was publicly made that we all, you know, got a chance to discuss.
Brian, am I right? How much do Apple actually take from subscriptions made in-app, from in-app purchases now?
Percent, the first year, and 15%.
Then that's including in-app. So you download a free game and you buy something within the game, the purchase.
Oh, that, for in-app purchases, yeah, it's 30%.
Yeah, that percentage still applies. So it's either if the app costs or... Right. I mean, it's a hefty chunk, isn't it?
Well, it is a hefty to the days when we bought software off of store shelves and retailers were taking 50%.
And Amazon still does. If you sell things on Amazon, I believe they're still taking half.
What does Amazon take? Of course, you know, there's definitely a difference between physical goods. And even in my own analogy, I'm comparing shrink-wrapped software to not shrink-wrapped software. Right. To digitally
and I don't know that shrink wrap software was ever available for a phone, so there's that too.
That is no, you could buy a shrink wrap software, well, for palm devices.
Oh, true, that's true. Okay.
What's happening now?
We're talking about the olden days, Charlotte. It'll be fine.
Oh, okay,
just cool. Give us a minute, we'll return from subroutine, it'll be okay.
Let's see here. I am looking for their fees for Amazon fees.
I mean, I can understand. I think MG Siegler's point, I know when I read this and posted it on our site, this is what I took from it, is that the game has now changed. There's a lot of app providers and like the developers and app providers in a lot of cases are in a bit more powerful position in terms to Apple. I think the game has changed. It needs to, and Apple needs to respond to that a bit. Now, Apple's argument as what it put to Spotify would be, well, we made you. Like, you only really exist to the extent you exist because you were on our platform and people found you on the platform we spent time and money and developers investing.
Yeah, I think Apple's angle with Spotify more than just we made you is that we're providing of tools that we put a lot of work into, and I didn't quite say this, but you know, that we were clever enough to figure out, and you want to be able to benefit from all that without paying anything. Now, what Apple didn't say, and I didn't make this point when we discussed this before, but what Apple didn't note was that part of the reason why it put all those tools in place was because it was making money on the hardware. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of the entire thing. You make the services, you make the quality software, you make your profits on the hardware rather than trying to you know, make it on selling the ink.
And that cartridges. goes clear Absolutely. Back to the iPod. Like, the reason there was ever an iTunes store where you could buy music was so you would buy music to put on your iPod.
Correct.
So that totally
and
makes
iTunes
sense.
Itself, of course, was free.
Mm-hmm. The thing
the
that
the platform itself.
Yeah, the platform. The thing that I think is interesting in this is that I know that Apple was a different company when they launched the iTunes Store. Apple was a different company when they launched the iOS App Store, and started calling it iOS, because at that point, you know, it was Phone OS, I think, until then. And what, you know, when I look at that, suppose Apple was to go from 30% to 25%. Right. 5% less that they take, like, to Apple, that's going to be a rounding error, that 5%. But to a developer, that could be the difference between now it can be my full time job. I can go full indie developer and I can support myself with the app that I built, as opposed to having to do it on the side. Well, I'm sure there are people that are close enough. That 5% is going to make a lot of difference to a much smaller outfit, and most app developers are much smaller outfits.
I would argue that the 5% is going to be more meaningful to larger companies who are generating substantial revenue. I mean, like the difference, like if you're earning $10,000 a month from the App Store, and now $10,000 a year from the App Store, and now you're able to get dollars a year from the App Store, that's not going to change your life.
Well, I feel like it's going to be a much bigger scale to a smaller yeah, outfit than Apple, which is everybody. So
yeah, like, well, I think I'm probably with Kelly on this one.
Nonetheless, Apple is doing a lot. Where I get the crankiest with Apple on its fees, is when it's competing with a company like Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because Apple charges $10 and Spotify charges $10 and Apple gets $10 and Spotify gets $7. $7.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
Apple gets another $3. It's not just Spotify gets $7. Apple gets another $3.
Right. Apple gets $3 of that. Spotify only get $7. Apple gets $3. And so Spotify gets $7.
Two transactions. Apple gets 13 of the 20.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there is an element of unfair competition there. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's a simple solution, and I'm not saying that like when Apple enters a market, its competitors should suddenly get a free ride. I don't really know what the solution here is. My biggest point in talking about that aspect has always simply been that it's not simple, and there is an unfair advantage that Apple has, and pretending that unfair advantage doesn't exist is not being honest.
Sure.
But at the same time, I definitely don't have the solution for it. No. And other than, like, I don't really think that 30% is otherwise too much when Apple isn't competing with the company. They're doing a lot. They're handling the transaction. They're offering the security. They're offering the developer tools. They're providing a whole lot of services. And that 30% is probably realistic, and it's a lot better than the 50%. Because, you know, again, going back to when software was sold in retail stores, you're not only is the retailer taking 50%, but if you want your product on an end cap, you're paying even more. You have to pay the retailer to put your product on the end cap. By the way, this is Charlotte, you would walk into a store and there would be boxes of software. It was a thing. It's a thing for the longest time. It was a thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, you know, if you want to compare to what Apple is offering and taking compared to what it used to be in the retail world, it's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, Google gets the same cut in the Google Play Store. Just for the record, Apple is the only one. Right. But Apple's not the only one. Again, like a lot of things we talk about, Apple's not the only one doing this. They're just the only one that's getting discussed. So,
yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you're the world's biggest company.
Right. But I think I do think it's interesting that nobody's mad about Android. Is that because everybody in the Android store is doing it for free or what?
Well, so, Google made several carve outs. Mm hmm. For and I want to say that music streaming is one of them for Google Play, but that is, like, I'm pulling that somewhere from like my nether regions. Google Spotify cut. Let me see if I can't quickly find this. Yeah, I want to say that Google provided a carve out and isn't charging.
So because they have Google Music, then they don't. There's a different rate for a Spotify subscription, is what you're saying, if you buy it through the app. Okay.
Sure. I'm not sure, but I could be wrong on that. And, you know, didn't actually research it before we hit
record. Before it came up. So, all right. Well, with that, we'll just have to leave that for the ages. But we will revisit that probably as part of our discussion of the Apple event next week. So, Brian, thanks for coming by today. I enjoyed having you here to talk about it.
Likewise, thanks for having us. Good beer.
And Charlotte, thanks for coming by to chat with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy weekend, people.
And happy weekend to all of you. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. If you get a chance, swing by iTunes and leave us a review. And we will talk to all of you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.